welcome everybody to Heroes Asylum, issue 84. My name is Mike. I want to thank you guys all for checking us out, being Facebook friends and all that good stuff. We want to thank you again. Of course, I can't do this alone. I have Kane over here to my right. How you doing
hey,
today,
bud.
Man?
How you doing, sir?
No, I'm doing great. Doing great.
Fantastic.
We've Labor Day weekend. We knocked out one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time for the Midnight Movies. So make sure you guys check that out. That should be dropping this weekend, or this week, sorry.
And I think out of all the Midnight Movies we've done, and I think I said this last night, this is the one that I think you guys should really listen to. Because like it's heavy dialogue, heavy discussion, lots of good discussion. So if you guys have never seen the movie, just pop it in and then play us right along with it, because I think the conversation is just as good as the movie itself, if you know what I mean. But definitely check that one out when it drops this week.
Yeah, like I said, it is one of my favorite sci-fi. It's not, you know, star out in the space, laser swords swinging or anything like that. It's true dark sci-fi, very Ray Bradbury-esque, fans of that. And again, this is Labor Day weekend. And actually, this weekend, I didn't even mention it to you yesterday. I forgot. I just didn't think about it when we were talking. But yesterday was actually my 2-year anniversary for my heart attack.
Oh, wow!
In a slight way, the planting of the seed for Heroes Asylum, because it was the kind of that pushed me, because Kane and I have always been talking about doing something like this. And it was finally the breaking point, I guess you could say, for me was the heart attack. I was like, you know what, I've been talking about doing this for a while, so let me go ahead and just do this.
That, to say the least, that literally was the push that we needed to get this started. So yeah, happy 2-year anniversary to Mike's help. So
yeah, two years heart attack, 2 years no smoking. I mean, I'm proud of myself in a way.
Could be. Good job, sir.
But we're gonna go ahead and start, guys, like we do every week here on the show. We actually talk about and review news that, you know, delves into the geek universe, realming from science fiction, like we just talked about with the Midnight Movies, to comic books, to television series. I mean, everything. I'm gonna go ahead and just launch into the first one for this week as soon as I can find my mouse, because I can't find it right now.
Oh boy, you better find
that. It disappeared into my screen. But the first one we've got queued up, actually, this is going to be a one for the Star Trek universe, guys. We're actually going to be getting our first binary character coming into Discovery. And they're going to be two characters, I believe, one binary and one transgender, that will be showing up on there in the show, which is kind of interesting, because I know the Star Trek fans are not very big fans of the actual Discovery. I'm actually a pretty big fan of Discovery. I think it's different. I'm very interested to see where they're going to go the third season, because now they've... You know, spoiler, folks, if you guys haven't watched it, it's been a while. They've now jumped from the timeline that they were in, or the time that they were in, which was for just pre-Kirk, and they've jumped into the future. So we're not sure where they are, what they're going to be doing, but they, like I said, they are introducing two characters. They will be played by Blue Delberio and Ian Alexander. And basically, like I said, they're going to be binary characters. They're calling them the first Star Trek ones, but I remember a Next Generation episode where there was a binary character. I hate to say this, but there sometimes is a tendency of millennials and people nowadays to forget about the past, that, hey, these things that are happening now are not the first times these have happened. So I think this is the first time they're going to have a crew member. That is, and I think this may be the first time there might be more heavy focus instead of just one episode. So, but yeah, this is not the first binary character. There was one, I keep wanting to say it was Next Generation, and it was somebody that they weren't sure if they were, you know, they were attracted to I think it was Troy. And actually, now that I'm remembering it, there was one.
Donna Troy, right? And yeah. There was a character on Deep Space Nine, too, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I believe there. Well, that one, she was, you're talking about Jadzia. That she could change it. She was basically like a not a parasite, but another life form that would take over a host. So they could change sex based off their host, but they weren't changing their sex. But there was also another one. I just got through watching Enterprise, rewatching the Enterprise series, and there was a binary species on there as well. So that, again, not the first, but I'm glad that they're actually doing this and focusing on this. You know, we are in a time of inclusion, that everybody should be included, and that's something I think that a lot of folks will be good with, and people that are looking for that kind of character to look up to as a especially as a child or a young adult.
Yeah, and like I said, it's nothing new. I've seen it before, but as you said, the millennials haven't. So, I guess it's brand new for them.
A lot of folks, and it's I don't blame the millennials specifically, but I think a lot of folks do forget that things have happened in the past, and we're not these things aren't the first time they've happened.
Yeah, it's not brand new. We've had it before. You just guys choose not to look back upon your past. So, and I always say, embrace your past. Don't forget about it. Embrace it. Channel it.
All right. So what do you have next?
Oh, I got this here. Let me get my mouse. Here we go. Eternals director wants to go bigger than the Avengers Endgame. Eternals director Chao Zhao. Am I saying that? Or was it Chloe Zhao? Chloe Zhao talked about the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a recent feature for THR. He talked about manga influences to be brought in his upcoming movies. And he also said this, I look forward to pushing more of the marriage of East and West and going deep roots of the Marvel Cosmic Universe. That excites me because one of the big things about the Marvel Cinematic Universe that I love, that they touched in Guardians, saw a little bit of an Endgame and Infinity War, is the Marvel side of the Cosmic Universe. So I think they haven't gotten that deep and sweaty yet. We saw it a little bit in Guardians, but according to Zhao, I guess he wants to go the full effect.
It's Chloe. It's Chloe. It's a she.
Is it Chloe Zhao?
Yes. Yeah.
Chloe. I don't want to say Chao Zhao.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's Chloe Zhao. Zhang said she wants to push it further. And yeah, I'm a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Cosmic Universe. The overall universe, it is touch and go for me. But the cosmic stuff, like the Living Tribunal, I think about the Beyonder. All those weirdo characters that Stan made it a long time ago. I think Jack Kirby had a hand in it as well.
Guys, Stan is not. Yes, Stan is the man, but Stan also had somebody else working with him. So
I'm
kind of starting to go, guys. Really, we understand Stan's great. He was part of everything. He was the man for everything.
But he did not write and
draw and do all of this by himself. So yeah, no, there are other hands in there. And please, guys, recognize Kirby. Kirby.
Please recognize Kirby. Kirby's weird, but he's out there, and he produced some of the best Marvel comics.
Kirby didn't want the spotlight on him like Stan does. That's why most people hear about Stan and not Kirby so much, because Stan went out and embraced the spotlight, and Kirby stayed back
Drew did his characters create universes. So.
Yeah, but that's the time. Just very similar to when you look at Bob Kane and.
Bill Finger,
yeah. It's kind of the same thing. There were some things that Stan didn't quite do all that great. So pick up a book and read the history of the comic book industry, and you'll be very surprised. The victors do seem to write the history, so to speak. Again, I do love Stan, but there are certain things that I think not everybody knows.
So what do you think about going cosmic with Marvel now?
I mean, they have to, especially if they want to introduce the X-Men into the world, because, with the X-Men, you're going to have to open up the cosmic world because some of the stuff that they do. I just think there's still more to visit in the Earthbound cinematic world. So I hope they balance it out and just don't go all cosmic from here on out. I know Phase 4 is going to be female empowerment heavy, so I know we're probably going to get more, Captain Marvel, with the passing of of Chaz Boseman. We're, you know, Chadwick Boseman, you know, we're definitely probably going to see Shuri stepping in and in the Black Panther role.
But that's the less logical choice. You got to go with Shuri.
I laughed when I saw news. Like, of course, it's from one of our favorite websites that they're like, they're like, they made an announcement that the MCU is going to have to write out Chad, you know, Black Panther. No shit.
Wow.
I was like, man, really? You guys are pushing that envelope on that journalistic, aren't you?
But some expert journalism right there.
But no, I think that there should be, I think it's a balance because you not only that, but you have the universe, you have your local earthbound, but also you have to go into your magical realm, which, you know, they're getting ready to venture in with Doctor Strange in WandaVision. So they're going to have to really balance that out. And I just don't want them to go full, you know, cosmic and full mythical, you know, magical and leave out the grounded characters, because that the grounded characters are what made Marvel. That what made them so cool is that those characters were that they were you. They could be you with your problems. So I'm just a little leery that I don't want them to go full cosmic.
Well, I think it's just probably going to be in that Eternals universe. I mean, I know it's connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the way she talked about it was she's heavily influenced by that Japanese anime manga style, which, you know, in its own right is a big universe. So I think she just wants to stay in that cosmic realm, which the Eternals should be. They're not earthbound heroes. They're mostly cosmic, but, you know, they do come to Earth once in a while.
Right. Well, again, you're going to have Guardians out there. You're now going to have Captain Marvel out there. So now you have three movies or three you know, properties that are cosmic in general.
So, well, didn't they say they wanted to split the universes in half? They wanted to have like half cosmic and half earthbound?
Never.
Did you hear about that? No. Maybe it was like something I heard. It was a rumor. Like they wanted to have a cosmic villain and they wanted to have an earthbound villain. I don't know if that's still true or not, but it was just whispers I heard. They wanted to make Doctor Doom the earthbound villain, and they wanted to make some guy I heard from Captain Marvel, who I'd never heard of before, the cosmic villain. So just a rumor. But if that's the way they're going to go and do it, then yeah. But if they're not going to go that way, but for me as a sweaty, I love all that cosmic weird stuff. I mean, they showed basically one of the what is it? In the first Guardians with the big head, the Celestials. They show one of Celestials. So I just hope they go towards that way. I want to see like the history of the Celestials and Eternals and the Deviants and all that weird stuff. So I hope we get that. That's what I want. But like you said, if they can have a perfect balance with it, that'd be perfect. Because, you know, going too cosmic, then you're gonna lose me. So
yeah, I just think also with the constant changing, and this will be, and you I know you hate it, but the new norm feel for movies is going to be more drastic than the new norm for us as day-to-day lives. Our day-to-day lives, I think, will get more normal within, you know, shortly. But I don't think the movie industry is going to recover. And I think that they are going to have to maybe tone down the bigger movies and go more but very similar to, like, if you think back into the 70s, you know, in the 60s, in the 50s and 60s, you had these big, massive productions. And in the 70s, the movie industry kind of toned itself down, more human stories, more one-on-one. And I have a feeling that may be the route to go, because the movie industry is taking such a hit. I mean, we're still just a few, you know, I think just a few weeks in, and we've just got a couple of new releases. And those releases aren't, you know, they're not breaking the bank by any stretch of the imagination. So it's, you know, I think a lot of the bigger world stuff is going to kind of get toned down a little bit.
As it should be. I mean, like you said, we're living in a different society nowadays that we can't have those bombastic features. I think I told you this before. I think it's going to be a while before we see any movie opening over the $100 million budget for a weekend. Yeah. It's going to be a very long time.
Yeah, very long time. Yeah.
And I don't know when, but it's going to be a while. So they have to tone it down, make everything a little bit different, as they say. I don't want to call it the new normal because I hate that term, but they're just going to have to change your ways, best way I can say.
So changing your ways and trying something new. I've got one for you.
What you got?
Well, new Batman theory is coming out. What do you think about the thought of, well, it's the new Batman music. The Batman theory is the master villain is not the Joker, but quite possibly, there are two theories out there, quite possibly a Joker, which I hope not, but the other one was interesting, is that could be Hush. What are your ideas on that? And it's something that this didn't come from one site. This came from a couple. I got this one. The article that's posted right now is from CBR. But there's been a couple other areas, that locations that have been kind of talking that that masked villain, some believe to be the Joe or the Riddler. But what if that's somebody else? Because to me, I know the movies have
Tommy Elliott?
What if it is somebody other than the Joker? Because, I mean, I do know they take some creative liberties when it comes to the movies. I know of Joker, if Riddler's never had a mask that I can ever remember, and he doesn't look, I mean, you guys can check out the image that's up on the screen right now. Definitely does not look like, I mean, he's greenish. This is really the only thing Joker-esque about him, or Joker, why do I keep saying it? Sorry, Riddler-esque about him is that his suit's green, but what if he's somebody different? You know, because they did say that they do have a few mixes, and if he is trying to, you know, if Matt Reeves is trying to create and build a new universe, I think that would be an interesting way of doing that. What do you think?
I would love for them to build the universe without the Joker, to be honest. I mean, that's just me. I mean, I'm all Jokered out.
Oh, yeah.
I really am. I really
Well, you just heard me saying every time I mentioned somebody about Batman, I kept saying Joker, because it's just stuck in my head. But, you know, we're definitely Riddler in this movie, but that masked character, who do you think?
I would like it to be Tommy. I mean, it fits with the whole narrative with Bruce Wayne, his parents. I mean, you could twist it in a way that maybe that Tommy was somehow involved in that. Like, it was like I mean, there's just so many ways you could twist it. I just don't want it to be the Joker. I mean, I'd be grateful if it was Hush. I'm like, sure, do it. Why not? He's intelligent enough to pull this off. He's got the money to do it. I mean, he's got crime connections. And I just didn't like the version they made in Batwoman. I thought that was, hit or miss, but we'll find out next year. But yeah, why not? Let's roll with Tommy Elliott. Let's just do Hush. Why not? He's like we've always said before, Batman's rogues galleries are the best in comics, only equal to Spider-Man's. So, you know, open up the book more. Let's not be so scientific and all like, you know, Joker, because I'm honestly done with the Joker. I don't want to see him no more. I'm one of those people, probably one of the few, and you guys can send me all the hate mail. I believe they should just put the Joker away for a while. Like literally kill him off and not have him come back, or have him come back 5 years from now or 10, but just put him away. I'm just really jokered out. I'm done. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've talked about it before. Back 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, Marvel put away Wolverine because in the 90s, you turned around. Wolverine was in every X-Men book. He was in some extra Marvel ones, but for the most part, he was everywhere. And you just have to let him go. You know, put him away, put your toy back. And bring the toy out five years from now, because then the toy's going to be fresh again. People will be like, man, I missed that character. That was the whole thing when they were talking about the X-Men going away and Hugh Jackman saying, hey, listen, I'm done with being Wolverine. And a lot of everybody was like, you know what? Let's wait. Let's Hugh Jackman enjoy his legacy as Wolverine and let it fade away into our memories. And then when we bring up the X-Men again, probably, you know, now 4 years from now, when we do, if they do bring in a Wolverine, it's not going to be like, okay, we just saw this character a year ago played by a different actor. No, it's going to be a different character and not a character, but a different actor portraying that character, which I guess in turn you would get different characteristics for, you know, in that.
Yeah, like I said, I want to miss the character. Like, wow, he's back. Like, he's been gone for so long. And when you have this oversaturation that you just said with Wolverine, there's just no need for it. Like I said, there's other things you could do. There's other characters out there you could bring out and you could make special. Why don't we keep going back to the same old, same old? It's just, I never understood that, especially with Batman. That, you know, his rose galleries is amazing. I mean, the Riddler, I mean, when done well, and it looks like they're going to do a different spin on it, with Edward Masterson, which, you know, bugged me for a while, but I'm like, whatever, I'll give it a shot. I mean, yeah, we got Penguin in there too. You got Falcone. I mean, you have so many, Catwoman, a different version of Catwoman, because I don't think she's been utilized on screen a lot. So why not? Bring out the new ones. Bring on Langdon, like Man-Bat. Bring some of those guys. Yeah. Bring on some of the weirdo characters.
You know me. I'm all about Clayface. Bring in Clayface. That would be...
Bring Clayface in.
I mean, just cinematically, he would be just amazing just to do, because we've got the technology now to do him right. And I think his character is one of those great broken characters that you will feel sympathy for. Like they tried to do with the Joker in the Joker movie. You know, to me, I fought that tooth and nail, and I still don't agree with turning a villain like that into a sympathetic character, but a villain like Clayface. You know, I always believed. I think probably one of the most heart-wrenching moments in any Batman production goes back to, I think it was it Justice League or one of the Batman one where it was Ace and she was like losing her mind and she knew she was dying.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that was Justice League Unlimited.
Walks in and sits down and they just sit on this swing and he holds her hand when she knows she's going to die. And she's like, I don't want to die alone. I don't. And he's like, you're not alone. And it's are those moments of when you realize who Batman really is underneath the mask. Yeah. He's there to scare you and he's there, but he's also there to like, if you want to do right, I'll get you there. I'll help you. I'll lift you up and I'll send you on your right way. And that's just, you need to have that moment or something similar to that moment live. And
I'll tell you another scene that I recall by a villain. It's actually in Batman the Animated Series, and I remember her name now. Her name was Baby Doll. Baby Doll was this famous famous kid actress. She had everything, but turns out she had this disease that she could not grow. She basically would be a little kid forever, even though she would keep aging. And there was a moment in one of the episodes where Batman's chasing her down. Like basically she had gone psychotic. She was killing all the cast members of her TV show or trying to recreate it as they got older because she wanted that fame back. And like in the middle, they run into this maze of mirrors, one of the best scenes. And Batman's chasing her, or the kid is, and the little girl's running with a knife or something. And all of a sudden, she stops at one of the mirrors, and she looks up, and she sees herself as an adult, and that just stops her right there. And then Batman looks at her because she just looks at herself, throws down the knife, she goes under, and she just starts crying, just starts weeping. And then Batman comes over and is like, "I'm sorry," you know. Just moments like that, like they just gut punches, and we're just saying, there's so many characters in that rogues gallery you can put in there, not just Joker, that can have a sentimental story. Like you just said, Clayface. I just said Baby Doll. There's probably others you could do as well.
Yeah,
and they could have one of those.
Exactly. Yeah, I just think if they had more of those moments with Batman, it would bring more to the character than just being this villain in the darkness trying to scare people. So what do you have next?
Oh, remember our buddy Zack Snyder?
Who?
Yeah, you know Zack Snyder, your buddy.
Yeah,
my buddy too. Well, Zack is busy doing his finishing touches on his Justice League movie, which will be coming out next year. He's also got some news about Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead movie. It's somewhere in midst of production. No news about it yet, but the film is suggested to come out in 2021. There's also going to be an expansion to the franchise, including an anime prequel. And he said it's going to be great collaborations, and they're thrilled to work with Netflix. What do you think about this? Basically, this is sort of his first post-project since being in the DC Cinematic Universe. He's doing more dead stuff. We're familiar with his zombie stuff before.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the Army of the Dead. I was looking forward to it the second I heard him dropping because, you're jokered out. I'm zombied out. But I think Zack Snyder with zombies and doing the Army of the Dead kind of the style, I think would be great. And added the animation, adding it to the animated series, I think would be cool to have like a prequel to it. It would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a different thing, especially Zack, to me, he's a very talented director, and to get, like, this is going to be his last hurrah at DC, we know that. This is basically the fans wanted him to finish his movie, he's going to get that done. But he's done other stuff, too, like that remake of Day of the Dead, I thought it was awesome. He did 300, a couple other films I can't think of off the top of my head. Even Sucker Punch, it is, for what it was okay. But like I said, to allow his creative juices to go back into something else other than the DC is what I'm excited to see. And after he was unceremoniously let go by DC,
he's been brought back into the fold. So, and again, the unceremonious thing is all hearsay because we've heard five different stories about that. So you stick to your unceremoniously let go. I've heard different things. So
I'm sure you have.
You choose not to believe them.
Sometimes.
So my next one, actually, this is, I guess, we can kind of tie this into a midnight movie thing. I think one of these days we're going to have to do a watch along to a Star Trek film. And one of the fun things that Kane and I do like to do when we do the midnight movies, we'll talk about the movie. But right now, what we usually do is we enjoy a beverage of sorts. And it seems as though Star Trek and Viacom have been bringing out Star Trek wine, and they are officially releasing Klingon blood wine this month, and it also is going to be tied in. There's already one out for the Chateau Picard, Bordeaux. And if you guys check out, there also will be a Starfleet series. And I know you can't see these, Kane, but I'll send you the images for it. But the images for these bottles are just awesome. I want to collect them. Just like the Klingon bottle of wine, it's got the wax stripped down like a Maker Mark bottle, but it's got the Klingon symbol on the front of it. And it's an all black bottle, and of course the Enterprise or the Federation bottle looks so much, you know, a little bit sleeker and nicer. But they are releasing those, so I think we should. Oh, next time we do a Star Trek movie, I think a Star Trek wine will be in honor.
They're missing the boat, man. I mean, I'm going to get this wine, but they're missing the boat. They had the chance to make the Romulan ale. How come you don't make the Romulan ale?
They're working on it.
If they make that Romulan ale, then I am all in. I'll go, just have some of that watch the Star Trek movie.
They do have a few. Like I said, they do. They just started releasing these. 2018, I believe, is when it originally came out. Was it's licensed under Viacom CBS Consumer Products. Star Trek wine released the 2018. They did a United Federation Planet Special Reserve from 2018. The Klingon red wine will come out. Actually, it will be coming out in time for Klingon Day, which will be September 17th. By the way, folks.
No.
Kaplak. And there's also another wine out there. So I actually think I might buy a bottle of each just to have, and maybe just maybe the blood wine, just a second blood wine to drink.
Oh my God, yes. I drink a whole bottle of that.
But wine. Yeah, if you guys can check these out, they are, I think I got this. I can't remember. I think I got this from Deadline website. And yeah, the bottles just look great. And
any release dates on those wines?
Again, like I said, just said September 17th is Klingon Day, so releasing the red blood, the red wine.
Are releasing in liquor stores? Or
Most likely, I'm sure. Well, it's coming through Viacom CBS Consumers, so probably just check online and you guys will be able to find it. I didn't have the chance to do the due diligence to find it that way, but there are a few, and I'm sure we will eventually get our Romulan ale. Maybe it may be a sweet a sweet wine then.
Probably will be after a while, but make that Romulan ale, guys. That's what we want. This is only a substitute for a little while as we watch the Wrath.
Hey, the Klingon blood wine is going to be good. So I mean, and I think that'll work.
I hope they don't come after us. So that's the only Klingon I know.
Oh, so which one you got next?
Oh, guess what? You know your favorite video game coming out next year, Gotham Knights? Well, they just announced the voice cast, which I happen to have right in front of me. Give me a second, as my mouse is giving me more problems than it should. But come on, Mousy. There we go. There we go. Hold on. I'm trying to – give me a second. All right. Here we go. Okay, so we're going to start – with the voice cast for Gotham Knights. Gosh, I'm so sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on. Christopher Sean, who I don't know, is going to be playing Nightwing. America Young will be playing Batgirl. I think she's a soap opera star. And if it allows me to pan even down, America Young. What is going on here? Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on. My mouse is acting ridiculous. Okay, we got Sloan Morgan Siegel. He's playing Tim Drake, Robin. And then we have Mr. Stephen O'Young. Stephen O'Young. He's playing Red Hood. And the last bit of casting here is... oh, gosh. Well, that's the main part. They have some... somebody's playing Alfred, but I can't get it up right now. But that's basically the voice cast. Basically, there's voice veterans. A couple of them have been on Rebels, and
sorry,
I can't bring it up. I'm trying. It's just not working.
A little behind the scenes, folks. I always tell Kane, don't use your computer to look these things up.
Well, that's going to be a problem to take care of tomorrow. But yeah, that's the main voice cast we got. Most of our voice actors have been around before, a couple soap opera actors. But yeah, so an Alfred confirmation that he is going to be in the game.
We already knew that. If you remember from the DC fandom, when the gameplay, he was in the Belfry. he was the voice in the Belfry.
That's what got me bad, because I thought the Belfry was its own thing, like its own AI. That's what I thought.
No, because if you watch the gameplay, you'll see Alfred's little, you'd see Alfred show up, well, for on the screen, it would be over here. You would see him show up, you know, in the screen with his face, but he would refer to himself as being from the Belfry. So, yeah, no, it was pretty self-explanatory
in the
game.
He was the Belfry.
He's just like the Oracle. The Oracle was in, you know, the Watchtower. So she would always refer to herself as the Watchtower. If you've ever watched any like military things, they refer to themselves as the place they're at. They don't call themselves the name. You know, he wouldn't be, hey, this is Alfred out there. You know, what you guys doing, Tim? They're going to use code words. So his code word was Belfry. So
is that something new? Because I don't remember him having a code word.
No, he's referring to himself as the location he's in.
Wow.
Like I said, any military thing you've ever seen before, they've always referred to themselves as being at the command center. It's never, hey, this is Bob at the command center. This is command center to unit whatever. And that's what he's doing because he's ex-military. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. That got the confusion away from me, because I thought it was actually an AI that was the Belfry. But by the way, the voice of Alfred has been played by Gildart Jackson. So look that up, voice cast. 2021, we'll look for that game on PS4. And PS5. So take a look. What you got?
Awesome. Well, we're going to stick into the Bat world. I mean, why not? Because it's Batman. But looks Batman. Like we are going to have Batman Day this year again. National Batman Day will be coming to us as it looks like the 31st was starting of it, but it's going to be celebrated on September 19th. So 2 days after Klingon Day. So guys, Geek World, we've got 2 days in September. That's all us. But it looks as though they're going to have events throughout online as well as at certain locations. It looks as though they're going to be doing Cape Crusader training. They'll also be doing a Batman Virtual 10K run. There's an Injustice Mobile going around, DC Legends, DC Universe Online, the old game. If you guys are still out there playing that, I know there's a lot of people out there. They're going to be doing something special on that. And, of course, on the DC Universe streaming site, they will be doing that. And then, of course, there's events everywhere around the world, from fans from Mexico, Brazil, France, Italy, doing all sorts of things. Batman. And, of course, we're going to have the second part of DC Fandom this year. I think it's on the 16th, that same weekend for this. So I bet you there's going to be a Bat panel or something of that sort. So, I mean, just definitely check it out, guys. If you are Batman fans out there, and apparently there are those out there, whatever's wrong with them. But they are out there. Even HBO Max will be celebrating Batman for Batman will take over the DC brand hub from the September 18th to the 19th. So yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff. And then of course, if you guys, especially you, Kane, if you're going to be shopping for anything Batman related, the DC Universe shop is going to be doing that. So.
Oh, good. Hopefully they'll have some discounts, because a lot of this shit is kind of pricey.
Yeah. Actually, one of the cool ones I looked at, I think it's on Amazon. Amazon actually has a DC fandom section, and it's got some of like the coolest shirts from some of the artists that were there at the time. Really? And you know how they did like the fan art that they would throw up there? They've got some of that on there. They've got some of the shirts that some of the hosts were wearing on there. They've got some really cool ones. And pricing-wise, really not nuts. I mean, like $19, $20 for a t-shirt. I mean, for what fandom was, that's not a bad price for it. And because I'm pretty sure some of these shirts aren't going to be around for that long.
Probably not, but I'll definitely have to check that out. Yep. Batman Day. Hopefully they'll have that one Batmobile that I'm looking for, the 1966 one that I talked to you about last night. That was like $100. Sit yay big. That's all I want. I got to find that one and a couple of the others. But yay, Batman Day, September 19th. And of course, I will be dressed as your friendly neighborhood Cape Crusader right here on the Heroes of Silent Podcast.
Yeah, all by himself. Just running around in his bad underoos, I'm sure.
Pretty much. That's what I'm going to do. Check it out, guys. Live on Facebook.
All right. So what else you got?
Hey, the producer of the Black Adam movie has teased more Justice Society members besides the ones that we're going to be seeing in the movie. So we got Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Adam Smasher, Cyclone, of course, Black Adam movie, but he says there's going to be some other ones maybe that might be popping in. I wonder who. So, always good to speculate the figure who might show up here or there.
They're going to do throwbacks. They'll probably do flashbacks. That's about it. That's yeah, when I read this, I was like, oh, no, yeah, we already know. So, I don't know why you're. While you're even talking about it, but I think he was asked it when he was out promoting. He was with a Collider at the time, promoting something else, and yeah, it's. I was like, okay, that's
that'd fine. Be nice to see like a flashback, or maybe like the old school J. Carrick Flash. Or, I mean, they're doing that in Stargirl now, but so I don't know if they're going to do that. But
good to, remember what came out of DC Phantom is that we heard from the three heads of TV, movie, and comics that rule of hey, if TV's working on a character, nobody else can touch it. That rule's gone. So we have a chance of seeing that mixture of characters, you know, being in one and being in TV, and now one being in.
Movie world,
in movies. So I mean, there is that. I wouldn't get your hopes up too much because I know that you're you know again the Batman freak here, but I don't think that they're going to give the milk away for free.
Come on, guys.
I'm just saying from a business point of view, what we've been getting with Batman is you know him, seeing him as Bruce Wayne in Titans and things like that. I think that's probably might be the extent that we're going to get or a voiceover.
They're
going to make people pay for Batman. Sorry, that's just kind of a given.
Well, we sort of We sort of saw Batman in season one of Titans, sort of.
It was a flash. It was a dream. So it wasn't Batman. You want Batman. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't want some guy in the shadows where I can't see him all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what you got there.
So, but yeah, hopefully we'll check it out, and I don't know. I just hope, like you said, it'll probably be flashbacks. That's about it. But you know, it's always nice to see somebody, a producer, being like, yeah, you know, we might throw a couple other members in there. Be cool. Maybe at the ending of the movie, Jay Garrick Flash shows up or something. That'd be nice. Hopefully. Maybe Spectre shows up. Who knows?
Yeah. But we'll see. Hopefully. So my next one actually falls into the Star Wars universe.
Star Wars.
And it kind of comes into rumors with Obi-Wan, the series, which they're still working on, so I know they're not producing anything just yet, but they are working on it. But it seems as though they will be taking place over in two time periods. So that may be why we've heard of shoot, just do a blank.
Rex?
Not Rex. Sorry, no. Anakin, Hayden Christensen, that he's there. That's been rumors of him coming in to do something with this. So maybe we're going to see a flashback into the Clone Wars era with him, and then also with him being on Tatooine and working on things. So it looks as though that may be the route that they're going with that, is that it will be taking place in two time periods, which I think is great to see where he's at, maybe have those moments of introspect, looking over the sands of thinking about something, and he's like remembering about a mission that he and Anakin were on, and maybe getting more of that and seeing more of some of the Clone Wars stuff.
Yeah, did they announce that Vader might show up maybe in flashbacks also?
No.
Is it the truth? Or just Anakin?
No, it's just that the only thing that people started feeding off of was that Hayden's going to be in there and that he signed up to do stuff. And the time periods piece, I think, is where it's going to be used. They're going to do flashbacks to the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, no, not. I know you want your Vader, Obi-Wan pre-Star Wars, which I still think you're smoking mad crack on that. But
some people will say otherwise.
They also smoke and crack. Okay. That concept, and it doesn't make any sense. Sorry. When you throw it out there, it just makes zero sense. There's no reason for it to happen. Because why would Vader hates Tatooine? So why would he even show up on Tatooine? That was the whole point of them putting Luke there, because Vader hates sand and he is burning everything to do with Anakin. So the fact that that's just don't see that happening.
Probably flashbacks.
Flashbacks. They stated here, definitely taking place in two time periods. So I guess we're going to see,
So time. We're going to see him probably after Sith. That's for sure.
Well, we're going to see him, yeah.
And then maybe a couple years. So it's going to be after Sith. Maybe a couple years before New Hope, maybe? No, because they don't have to age him up.
They're not doing. They're probably going to. It's going to be Hayden. He's going to be in there. So probably as Anakin, not as Vader.
No, I'm just thinking of the time period for Obi-Wan.
Well, Obi-Wan will be mid-Sith and mid-New Hope. That's a given. We already know okay. It's going to be old. He's going to be on Tatooine. It's the second time period that's going to be put in there, and that's why I'm saying it's going to be Clone Wars and pre.
Yeah, it has to be Clone Wars. I can't see anything else. I mean,
well, they're both too old to play like yeah, they were.
You can't do anything else. Come on, guys. A little crazy, but yeah, I can't wait. Any word on when production starts in that?
No, dude. Yeah. It's. I mean, come on. We've even got news of Batman. Batman just closed production again. Or although I've heard two rumors there. I've heard one it's closed completely. I heard the other one is Robert's in isolation and the rest of the crew's working. So, even stuff now, it's still touch and go. So, they're still best part right now is to let them write it, get the writing done. They've got the time. They've got the time to now flesh out the characters. Excuse me, and flesh out the storyline.
Well, script should be amazing, considering how long they're going to have. So, hopefully we'll get it done soon. And, yeah.
All right, so what do you got next?
NECA. You know NECA, the action figure company? They recently... Well, actually, I have a couple of NECA figures, John Wick figures that I bought. They're releasing this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figure, which is kind of cool if you've never seen it. It is basically from the movies, like the old school movies. It comes with basically the trench coat for Leonardo, the little hat, a little TV set. And when I saw this, I think the figure runs about 60 or 45 bucks. I'm not sure how much it costs. They didn't say a price on it yet. But the detail to these figures are just ridiculous. I mean, it looks exactly like out of the movie. I know sometimes when you see an action figure from a movie, barely looks like it. Nowadays, especially with NECA and Mezco, these companies, they get on there. Their sculpts are just like 100%, almost like to the T of the film. You could literally hold up the figure to the film and just be like, wow, they basically look the same. So whoever does the homework on these figures, they do a really good job. Did you check this figure out yet?
We're looking at the article you sent me with the images of the face, yeah. The Shredder helmet, the nunchucks spinning,
just amazing,
the cowboy hat, which I thought was great. I love the cowboy hat that they have for it. And, of course, Michael's skateboard.
You gotta have a skateboard on there. That's what I thought. They had a little TV set on there as well. I mean,
yep.
It's just the detail is just sick. I mean, nowadays these figures, yes, they're a little bit pricey, but I mean, you're getting like just what you wanted. Like when we were little kids, you wanted that figure that looked exactly what you wanted. I mean, trust you had to use your imagination, but now you're actually getting it. Yeah, you gotta pay a pretty penny for it, but man, I'm just amazed at how accurate kids
aren't buying these. Adults are buying these. Yes. So it's definitely the price is going to be jacked up. It's not like, this is going to go to little Timmy, to play with for, the next 2 years or so. No, this is going to be definitely going into somebody's collection.
Yeah, it's going to go to Marvin, who's like 55 years old from South Dakota, yeah. On his wall. Like, yes, let me put this up here with the rest of my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like...
And Marvin, if you want to call Kane, you can find him on our Facebook page for making that funny voiceover about you.
What's wrong? This is Marvin from South Dakota. I collect all these figures.
Oh, Kane's begging to get trolled. I can't wait to hear about it.
But seriously, before you move on, but the Mezco and the NECA stuff, they are really cool. They made a Predator action figure a couple of weeks ago. Some other ones are releasing.
Was NECA the same ones that did did Red from Batman? Was it Batman Rising or the Batman Predator and Alien short that they did?
That was Mezco.
Mezco? Okay. I love that. I would love to. I know that one's like 150, I think, because they did a small run on just Red, and I mean that's one of the cooler ones. Because if nobody's ever seen that, was it called Batman Rising or what was it?
I think it was Batman Dead.
Maybe it was Dead. Yeah, maybe it was Batman Dead. And it's great, guys. If nobody's ever seen it, this was like a huge, massive thing. I think San Diego Comic Con they released it late '90s, I think. And it was a fan film, and it had Batman versus Predator versus Alien, and it. Was the first true, and I still say to this day, I Nolan and what Bale did and everybody else, still the best looking Frank Miller live Batman. When you actually look at how he looks, the suit, the build, there's a scene where he drops down on the ground and his cape flows out, and as he stands up,
on the rain,
the cape like melts out of the rain back up. It's just amazing shooting. But check it out. It's on Netflix. But yeah, definitely check that out. But yeah,
I believe that the actor who played Batman in that film was Kevin Porter. And the guy who played the Joker is one of the founding fathers of the Bat and the Sun film production company they have online.
Yeah.
That basically was one of their first movies that they threw out there. And now they basically did Superpower Beatdown, all this stuff, doing well. And they're going to release a movie called Batman Dead or something, or Down. It's something else with the Joker in it, but it's supposed to be coming out pretty soon. So check for that on Bat in the Sun channel on YouTube.
Yes. My next one is actually a revisit from the 80s. It looks like a new Alien film is in the works, according to Ridley Scott. To revisit Prometheus, which I got happy on that one. I was like, okay, we're not going to be revisiting Prometheus. We don't need, I saw somebody say it online where it's, oh, well, it wouldn't be cool if we had like the gap filler for Prometheus to Alien. No, because that's what Prometheus was supposed to be. And we saw how bad that went. Rumors of a return of Sigourney, nothing like that. But we'll see what he does. I mean, it is Ridley. He does good. There are some of the non-Alien movies, the Prometheus and the other one, I enjoyed just for the fact of that it was good sci-fi horror. It wasn't Alien by any stretch of the imagination, but I think if he does it well, they have treatment for a film that involves Sigourney Weaver's Ellen Ripley, but they would have to do a flush and say, okay, guess what? The rest of these movies don't exist anymore. And that never works out well. Because we've seen a couple of series where they're like, hey, yeah, no, this one's picking up after this movie. Those other two that happened, don't just ignore those. That never, the world doesn't forget of your mistakes. And granted, Ridley was not involved in those, but they're part of the Alien series. So I'd love to see what he can come up with and try to like piece it together. Maybe not. I mean, I would still love to see, they can't do it, but I would still love to see the actual true sequel to Aliens done. If anybody's interested, there's a comic book run of it. And you actually see the true sequel to Aliens where they wake up and it's different than when she went to the prison colony. So.
Early in the show, we talked about putting somebody away in a toy chest for a while. I am of the belief that the Alien franchise needs to take a break. I don't want to see no more new Alien movies. I don't. Even if Ridley comes back, that'd be great. I mean, but just, you know, I've seen so much stuff with the aliens and stuff. I'm just kind of done. So
it's been a while. It's not like they're kicking it out every year or every two years. It's been long enough, I think.
Still fresh in my mind. And I actually saw that Alien movie that was okay, that I did not like. And that Predator movie came out a couple of years ago. I mean, it has nothing to do with it, obviously, but just give it a break. Just give it a break for a while. I'm just done. I'd rather see more movies that we saw last night at Midnight Movies than I want to see an Alien or Predator movie right now.
Yeah, very true.
Give me something bold. Give me something like heavy, not heavy dialogue. I mean, you could add dialogue, yes. And you could add new. Just give me something new.
Well, when you look at the original Alien movie, that was part of it, was their dialogue and the fact that that very Jaws-esque, you didn't see the alien until much later. You know, saw was more the reaction. You saw a piece of the alien arm or you saw the tail, but it was more about the reaction of the actors.
Suspense, yeah. It was horror. That was great. And then aliens trumped it up and made more action. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. We upped the ante.
Well, that's
Alien,
when
Alien 3, like, I don't know what was going on with the prison. And then Alien 4, oh, God.
That's where it went bad.
Weird albino alien thing. That was strange. That's
a baby alien.
Oh boy, what was it? That shit, a clone that Ripley gave birth to?
Ripley was a clone, and she gave birth to that. So yeah, she like was gestating, and then they took it out of her. Yeah, so yeah, it was a whole like clones gone crazy.
Oh man, talk about a bat. Oh, that movie is just disgraceful.
Well,
I was actually one of the fans of Prometheus. I actually like what Prometheus set up, but then I think after that, they just kind of like ruined it.
Yeah, like I said, I was a fan of Prometheus. What, the Covenant wasn't there?
Covenant was.
Yeah,
the last
I was like, yeah, where are you going with this, guys? And then that's when they lost me. So
the minute when they go to the Engineer's planet, that's the ending of Prometheus. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this could be really cool, right? And I was like, okay, I cannot wait for the sequel to come out. I watched Covenant. I'm not sure if I watched it with you or not. Probably didn't.
No.
But there's a scene of that movie that totally ruins everything they did in Prometheus.
Yeah.
It's basically the android David in a star and a spaceship seeing all the engineers and basically throwing down all those little alien samples and infecting them all and killing them. I thought that was the stupidest thing I saw. I'm like, wow, you really just ruined it.
Yeah,
by
it was dumb
like that.
Really weak writing at that point, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, like you said, I think Ridley was smoking some crack. I mean, he probably was smoking my crack. I don't know. But that was just some bad writing. But I honestly, if you do want to bring it back, I don't want to see you go to the movies. I'd rather see you go streaming. Do like a 5-episode special or just like something behind the scenes. But I don't want to see anything alien related. I don't want to see anything related to that series anymore. Just like, you go, oh, we're going to wash this away. We're going to do this. Oh, we're going to do another prequel. Just do something different.
Yeah.
We'll see what he does. Maybe he'll do. Maybe he will do something different
that
we're not expecting.
He's,
you know,
he's got some movie. He's got some good movies in him still. I believe in him. So I hope so.
So, so kind of in the same genre, the same vein, we do have a special holiday coming up. But Turner Classic Movie has revealed its impressive schedule for horror movies of Halloween.
Woo!
Time of the year that Kane and I both look forward to. And
I cannot wait.
Reason we're doing this now is they're actually going to be starting it in September. And the list that they have here, sorry guys, the music in the background is actually Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein. I had to pull that one
out. That's a good drop, by the way. You got to keep that one.
But you know, they are going to be hitting some goods, some bads. You know, they're going to start off right off the bat with War of the Planets, not War of the Worlds, but War of the Planets. So we were just kind of talking about some bad sci-fi horror. We're going to get it, some of it here. But keep in mind, guys, this is some of the classic stuff you're going to run across. You're definitely going to get Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, you have to.
You know, Maroon, Dracula, 1931's Dracula. So definitely, guys, make sure you hit your, you know, you're watching. Now, some of them are just like aired at very odd times. Like, you know, they have like at Saturday 3rd. October 3rd at 12:30 a.m. They have The Haunting, you know, just some
of the
original
of Haunting, or is it the newer one?
Oh no, dude, we're talking, this is Turner Classics.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking 1930s, 40s, 50s, some 60s. We're going to be definitely seeing the Night of the Living Dead. Original King Kong, 1931 King's Kong. So, I mean,
King Kong is a horror movie?
Yeah, it was when it first rolled out. I mean, you think about it.
Was it classified as a – I don't think it was a horror movie.
Oh, yeah. I would classify that as
you
a horror
movie. You think
so? Yeah, definitely.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, for the time frame that it was, I was talking about a monster gorilla. I mean, that's – you got to think
it's
of the time frame.
Because the kaiju monster movies from Japan, they never classified those as horror movies.
But that's kaiju.
They were classified as sci-fi. So
that was
like,
but this is 1933 Kong. Okay. You got to remember, this is not it's not what you're used to. This is your grandfather's Kong, not your daddy's Kong.
All right, sir.
And what else? What of course, we've got Halloween. Halloween, they are doing straight 24 hours, and they've got some pretty interesting ones. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Freaks, Children of the Damned.
Oof.
Picture of Dorian Gray.
Oh, man.
Them.
Freaks?
Yep.
If you guys have never watched Freaks, that movie scared the hell out of me when I was a little kid.
6 a.m. in the morning, folks, if you want to get up bright and early on Halloween morning to watch. And, of course, this will end in November 1st. So I know we got our horror fans out there listening. You guys are out there. I know who you are. And Kane's got his own little group, too. But definitely, you make sure you guys do check it out. Turner Movie Classics. Sure there's a – I hate to say it, but I'm sure there's an app for that. If not, I'm sure your Roku TV or you know, Apple TV or something will have a way of getting a hold of it. But, I mean, it's just classic horror movies you want to watch. You know, you have to watch – you know, we have to watch, you know, the Charlie Brown Christmas and all those, you know, during the holidays. This is what you have to watch.
Halloween special, the Peanuts, man. That's the Great War is the Great Pumpkin, or the Great Pumpkin. Is the Great Pumpkin for Charlie Brown?
Yeah, Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, that's the Great Pumpkin. Gotta watch that one, too.
So, yes,
watch
definitely.
Freaks, too.
No, Freaks, yeah. Like I said, it's all some great classic ones. I think the latest or the newest one I saw was 1968. Four movies.
Oh wow!
So
that's
we're talking Turner.
Years.
We're talking Turner Classic Movies. They still do the old school black and white. To them, classic is still classic. The black and whites. Again, I did not see the Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein, which I was a little disappointed there, but I found it someplace else, so I'll have to watch it as well.
You probably got to get the original Lon Chaney werewolf movies on there.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go through it. I just kind of highlighted the quick ones I saw.
I was trying to think, like Bela Lugosi's got to be on there, and
I think I posted this one on our Facebook page, so if you guys obviously are watching this on our Facebook
post
page.
Yeah, post the schedule on there. I definitely want to check that one out.
All right, guys. Well, that's all that I have. What about you, Kane? Is that the last of your...
That's all I had.
All right, perfect. Well, make sure you guys do check us out, heresasylum.com, where you guys can see all of our posts. If you do not want to join the social media network with us, you can still see a lot of our posts and information that we put there. Also, links to our Midnight Movie podcast at Kane's Little Baby that we've, we're going to be dropping our Supernatural one this week. Then we'll have another, by a week or two, we should have another Marvel one. Doctor Strange, correct, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, Doctor Strange.
And then in October... Kane has promised us some horror movie watch along, so we're gonna stick to that theme, and so we'll keep you guys up to date on that. So check out on Facebook page there or on our website to find out more information about that. But you can also check us out at our social media sites. Where are those?
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum _podcast and Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. By the way, guys, if you checked out the Instagram page today, I am playing the new Avengers game for PS4, and so far I'm midway through, and I gotta say, it's pretty spectacular. But as always, from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum.
See you guys later.